ASK Radio Station coming to you live. Hey, ASK Radio Station coming to you live right now. Take over, sister.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to KS Radio Station. This is our segment of Love, Forgiveness, and Second Chances. I'm Valerie Harris, your hostess, and I just welcome each and every one of you. Thank you for joining in with us tonight. I pray that something that may be said would be a blessing to each and every one of us. Let's go before the throne of grace, whereby we may find mercy. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. Father, as we come with our hearts open, Father, we come hungry, Lord God. We come thirsty, Father, to hear from you. Open up the windows of heaven, Lord God, and give us fresh manna, fresh bread from on high. Lord, let Valerie be moved out of the way and let your spirit reign. We need a word from you, O God. I pray, Father, that the word that comes forth will be a blessing in the ears and in the lives of others, Father. Transform our lives, create in us a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within us, Father. I come before you, Lord God, as humbly as I know how, and I give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise in the name of Jesus. One thing that on my heart tonight is, you know, that we just be transparent, that our lives be so transparent that people who may not know God can look at our lives and see Jesus. That we be out of the way and God be in control.
Mm-hmm.
But the subject that I want to talk to tonight is about humility, being humble. The definition of humility is meekness, lowliness, and absence of self. The Greek word translated humility in Colossians 3:12 literally means lowliness in mind. So we see that humility is a heart attitude, not merely an outward demeanor. See, a person can put on humility and seem to be humble on the outside, but their heart may be full of pride and arrogance. If you think back to the beginning in the book of Genesis, when that serpent came to tempt Adam and Eve, the thing that he presented to them was the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And sin entered into the world through those three attributes or those three demeanors: lust, the things that we see and behold with the eye that we kind of want for ourselves, that seem attracted to us, but they're against God. The lust of the flesh, we definitely see that running rapid in the earth. It's the things that we desire that would please the flesh. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And then there's pride, one of the deadly sins. God hates pride and he hates arrogance. And he wants us to have a contrite heart and a contrite mind. And he says in his word that if we would humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, that he would lift us up. James 4, 6, and 10 says, but he gives more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, one thing we should always be mindful of is to look at ourselves. Sometimes it's good to remember where you came from, what God delivered you from. Because sometimes in our growth, we just might forget. And then that would cause us to judge others who haven't made it to the same place that we are. When we see someone who's struggling in life or struggling with sin or who has not had a journey or even who needs salvation, we might be quick to judge. Sometimes, you know, you can go on the internet and you can read things about what people say about each other. And because I go into the prison, sometimes I read the comments that people say about people who are getting ready to be executed or people who are sentenced to death, and they talk about how much they deserve to die. They're getting what they deserve. I remember this one comment that I read is just like taking out the trash. But how quickly do we forget that in the sight of God, in our sinful nature, at best, we're filthy rags and we're not worthy. Only through the sacrifice made by his son. And he didn't die for some. He died for all. Gave his life that all of us, every man, woman, boy, and girl, could have the right to the tree of life. Humble yourself in the sight of God that he might lift you up. Remember, it's an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of the kingdom of God in meekness. Jesus came not only to die for us, but to show us how to live, how we should look after one another, how we should take care of one another. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and give grace to the humble. There's another scripture. He gives grace to the humble. That's his unmerited favor. God looks favorably on those who humble themselves. And when I was thinking about that scripture in Peter about ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, I'm always reminded that when God speaks of the kingdom, he's talking about walking in the spirit. Younger doesn't always mean age. It may be that if you're a newborn Christian, and then there's someone who's been walking with God for a length of time and who've had experience, a life experience, that can be able to help you, that know some things, that have knowledge of God and of his ways. It may mean that because you're not yet knowledgeable and you're not yet ready and you haven't been through the training, that you should submit. That means that you should be willing to learn, to grow, to follow, to serve, to allow yourself to be trained by someone who has more experience, who've already been down that road and been down that journey and are at a place where you desire to be. But one thing about God is that even when he puts you under the umbrella of a teacher or a pastor or a minister, that person should never take the place of God, because he's our source. God is a jealous God. He gives us teachers. He gives us experiences. And then he said to submit to one another, because everybody has a part to play. Everybody has something special and unique that God has placed on the inside of us. We need one another. So you can't discount anyone out. You just can't do it. And you have to look beyond the outer appearances of a person and see their heart. I remember going to the bank, and I had about some money that I had gotten from a car accident. It was a settlement. Well, it was actually a check, and I wanted to, I kind of dressed down. I mean, I probably went in the bank really looking like a bum because I was so scared that I had that much money on me. I didn't want nobody to rob me. And I went to the counter, and I asked this lady, could I open up an account? And she asked me, did I have a job? Well, at that particular time, I was at home taking care of my mom, and I wasn't working. And I had asked her, I said, well, how much does it cost to open a bank account? She said $50. But because I didn't have a job and because I didn't look like I was worth anything, she turned me away. And I went up to the teller, because the check was written on that bank, to cash the check. And the teller said, well, would you like to open an account? I said, well, no, that lady over there told me that I couldn't because I didn't have a job. But it was well more than $50 that I was bringing into that bank. And she counted all that money out and put it in my hand. And I took it to another bank and made a deposit with cash money. Never judge a book by its cover. Jesus said to beware of strangers, because you may be entertaining angels that you're not aware of. If they come looking like an angel, of course we're not going to turn them away. But what if that's the homeless guy on the corner that we walk by and we shun him Jesus warns us about those things. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabit eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones." Jesus himself took off his robe of righteousness, took off his crown, and humbled himself as a man to walk among us, to show us what humility was. He took off his divinity, clothed himself in humanity, to teach us how to live, to restore us back to a holy God, to give us a chance at life. He became acquainted with all our griefs and all our sorrows. He came to serve. He was a leader who was a servant, that even on the very day that he was to be captured and arrested to be brought before the court to be sentenced to execution, he humbled himself to wash the feet of those who followed him. He showed us how to love. And he showed us how to die. He said daily, we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross to follow after him. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor. The poor is not someone without money, but the poor is that which has abandoned pride, who has abandoned themselves to a life of humility. Contrite means feeling regret and sorrow for one's sins or offense. It's a penance to repent in order to allow repentance to truly be in our heart. There has to be some regret, some sorrow for what we've done when we've messed up. And the beauty of it is that God says that if we confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am so grateful to serve God. That was when I didn't have sense enough to walk up right before him. He found me when I was lost. He found me when I wasn't serving him the way I should. But I remember one day crying out, God, if you're who you say you are, and I'm supposed to belong to you, something about my life should be different. That's the time when many people just want to give up and die. You hear testimonies about how people want to just not live anymore because they have no value of life. When life hasn't treated you so well and you see trouble on every hand and it just seems like as much as you try, you can't dig yourself out of the hole that you're in. Whether you're bound by drugs or bound by any kind of addiction, whether it's lust or fleshly desires, or whether it's pride, or whether it's sickness or disease, and you just can't seem to find your way out, many people take their way. They take their own lives because they have not turned their lives over and abandoned this life for the one to come. And even though God has delivered us and set us free, and we walk this good life with him and we rejoice with him, sometimes we still find ourselves falling short. And then we have to reflect and see and recognize from the place that we've fallen. But it's so good to know that when we humble ourselves in the sight of God, he lifts us up, covers us with his love and his grace. We don't have to be afraid of making mistakes because we do that all the time. But oh, we have to be quick and sorrowful and repentant and get back from the place that we've fallen. Danny McClurkin sang this song about falling but getting back up. We fall down, but we get up. And it's all for the grace of God. Sometimes when we feel like we're about to lose someone or something traumatic happens in our life that we have no control over, it causes us to reflect. It causes us to wonder, I could have been a better wife. I could have been a better husband. I could have been a better friend. Well, guess what? As long as there's life, as long as God gives us another chance, we can be a better person. We can be a better friend. We can be a better spouse. We can be a better sister or brother. We can do better. When we allow the Spirit of God to work humility in us, and when we look to Christ as our example, when he left, he said, greater works shall you do. Of course, he performed signs and miracles and wonders, but that was all a part of the service that he gave to humanity to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to bring deliverance to those who were bound in their spirits and bound in their thoughts. And he given us the way to be free. Resist the devil. He has to go. And so when we come up against temptation or we come up against trials, all we have to do is go to the one who's the author and the finisher of our faith. When we know we can't do it on our own, all we have to do is ask, Father, help me with this sin. Help me with this iniquity. I don't want to be like this. Father, I need deliverance. Help me. He said that a man would not give his son a stone when he asked for bread. How much more will our Father give us when we humble ourselves before him? When we come before him in meekness, when we abandon ourselves and we say, Lord, all I want is you. We're blessed by the best. Our gratitude belongs to him. Our service belongs to him. When we submit ourselves under his mighty hand, he can use us for great things because he'll be working through us and not us trying to manipulate him into doing what we want him to do. We work with him and we work for him that he might be glorified. He said that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. He tells us to be holy because he's holy. What a mighty God we serve. I remember this song just came to my heart. He's got the whole world in his hand. Trust, believe, obey. Obey his voice. In everything we do, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in his sight. To God be the glory. I pray that something that has been said may have touched a life because you're valuable to God. God will move heaven and earth on behalf of someone that belongs to him. This is the God we serve. He hears your cry. When man don't understand, you have to know that there's a loving Father, the one who created the heavens and the earth, who hung the stars in their place, who loves you, who's there for you, who will never leave you nor forsake you. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my very soul magnifies the Lord. Oh, taste and see that he is good. What a mighty God we serve. The lines are open. If there's any comments, if someone's needing prayer, we're here.
Sister Barry, I'd just like to thank you, thank you, thank you for tonight. It was like I was laying here listening at you, and it was like you had just opened up the book and was reading back to me some of the things in my life that I have been going through. And was a question God about why, you know, it seemed like I stay sick sometimes and all, and it seemed like I just get out of one thing and get in another. And I said, well, Lord, why? But, you know, you have to remember that he said he wouldn't put no more on you than you can bear. And the way has already been made. All you have to do is just keep trusting him and never give up. Just continue to hold on to his unchanging hand. He might not come when you want him, but he will always be on time. So I thank and I praise God for you tonight, because you have really blessed me tonight. Thank you, and I love you.
I love you too. And you bless me with your comment. That's what I'm saying. He gives all of us something. And that was a blessing, the way you explained that, the way you expressed that. That blessed me. Thank you.
Thank you again. I tell you, it really moved me tonight. Just to think that God loves me enough to use you tonight to confirm some things in my life. And it gives me courage to continue to keep on. It's not time to give up. I came too far to turn around. So he would just send you by tonight to encourage me. And again, I said thank you.
To God be the glory. Amen, amen. Bless you.
Bless you.
Anyone else? You know, some of the greatest messages that we can teach are the ones that we've lived, the ones that we've walked through. And it seems like, you know, whenever God puts you in the position to teach or to give someone a word of encouragement, it's because it's something that's affected your life as well. And, you know, as many of you know that my husband had a stroke on last Monday, and I was in the prison at the time. I hadn't been in a while, and I was really going through some things, and I just didn't want to stop going without the inmates not knowing why I wasn't there. But I had already knew that I was going into a season of spending time with God. And I had peace when I went. You know, I talked it over with God. And here I get a message while I was in prison that my husband was on the way to the hospital. And I left and I felt so guilty that I wasn't there. And I was thinking, Lord, I you know how your mind just go back, and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm not ready for my husband to die, but I know that your hand is there because you know my prayers. And just last week, I'm gonna be honest, I was super mad at it, but you know, all of that didn't matter when he was in a crisis. Whatever reason I was mad for him seemed so futile. And I started thinking, did I say something? Did I, you know, because life and death is in the power of your tongue. I started looking back to make sure it wasn't, you know, Lord, did I say something that would, did I speak a word that you know, just crazy things. But I was serious because in my heart I was really angry. And I wasn't showing no mercy at the time. But when you at the crossroads like that between life and death, it caused you to examine your actions. It caused me to examine my actions. Said, Lord, I could have been nicer, because, you know, we never know when it's the last time that we might see somebody. And would that last time be where we've not spoken kind words or encouragement, or let a person know, you know, that you love them? We have to stay ready. We have to live a life that's holy and acceptable and pleasing to God, first of all. But he wants us to treat one another well. We have to recognize the devices of the enemy and not allow him to bring strife in our homes and in our families. And then even when people come against us, we have to have enough love in our hearts that we can pray for our enemies, and we can pray for those who don't know no better, who might treat us bad. Because, and remember that Jesus was treated bad, but he showed us how to love in the midst of what they did to him. And so in the midst of people persecuting us, we too have to turn to the Father and say, forgive them, Lord, for they don't know what they're doing. Have mercy. And then he said that we have to forgive others as he's forgiven us. We just have to follow the plan, follow the map. He's mapped it out for us. What did he say? I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. He's already prepared the place. He has a table set for us, that we might dine with him in the presence of our enemies. I don't want to miss that.
Amen.
Amen. Is there anyone else? Well, if there's no other comments, like I said, I pray that there's something that was said, and something that God has put on your mind and in your heart that will resonate with you. I pray blessings upon your life and upon your family. I pray blessings upon this line and upon the host, the one who's given me the opportunity to even be on the line, Pastor Hunter. I wish him and his household many blessings. Blessings to those who have tuned in to hear, and those who may have reached out through the internet or through Facebook or through Twitter, whatever method that you're listening in or tuning in, we pray blessings over your household and over your family and over your life. Health, strength, and peace, and may the tender mercies of God be with you. So we're going to close for the night. And we hope that you, and pray that you join us again. We'll be here next Monday. Have a blessed evening. Good night.
Bless you.